So I really want to thank you so much. I know that I've got lots of folks here tonight standing outside in all kinds of places. This is kind of our Thanksgiving because most of you great young adults will scatter to the four winds now to go to your families and friends for this great holiday season. But ever before we do that, I really think it's very important that we don't wait until we get that big turkey on the table on Thanksgiving Day and then we sit with our little family around us and we give thanks. We really need to start that right now, this week. This is the week of Thanksgiving. So I think we should take that time and remember the folks, our families, who are so important in our lives, are the people that we love most, people with whom we have given and want to give our all to those folks, to really not just companion them in life, but literally be that source of love and support and to give yourself to that person. For those people, to give great thanks. For our teachers and people who serve us and folks who take care of little bits and pieces of things in our life that we never even probably think much about. I've told you about our little friend Frederico. He was in this church every Sunday night after this big bang, you know. He would come in here at 8 o'clock at night. And he would clean this church and the schools and all of that till 2 in the morning. I didn't even know his name for the first couple of years. Shame on me. Those are the people we need to thank. Those are the people we need to love. And those are the people that in a special way today we honor. So that's the first thing. Second thing is we've got a whole row of folks here that were with me on our journey to the Holy Land. I described, so they know all about you. All 340 of you. Judy Brooks was in charge of it, and she's at the end of this line tonight. But this was the bus that I had that saved me because it was tough dealing with 340, but we had a bus, and we took off and took these little bits and pieces of things when we were not with the large group, and they've come back tonight just to console me. So let's give them a good welcome from St. Monica's community tonight. Thank you. Thank you. It's great. So, our Holy Father, Francis, how about that? Amazing man, huh? 8 months. I know you're tired of listening to me talk about him, but he has literally changed the discourse in our church, I think. And our prayer and our hope is that he will have a long and gracious life. Now, he's 76, so we need to pray for that good man because he has so much to say and to do for our church. Well, this week on Monday, I'm on the Pope app, you know, every morning, and I get his little message. So most of the time, if I say the 8 o'clock Mass, they're getting Pope Francis. They're not getting me. So if they get upset, I just say, talk to Pope Francis. So he told this story this week, and it was a great story. A story I've told a lot of times, so I was so grateful that he would tell it. He said, you know, when I was growing up as a young man in Argentina, he said, I was told this story about a grandfather. And the grandfather lived with his son and his son's family. And they really had a good life. They were together. And the family ate together and prayed together. But as this grandfather got older, he, first of all, didn't hear as well, and he'd spill his soup a little bit at dinner, and, you know, he just became clumsy around that table. So the family decided, Pope Francis said, the family decided that they would sit down and have a little meeting, and they did. And they decided that Grandpa would no longer have dinner with them. They would have the family table and they'd be together, but just to relieve themselves of the annoyance, they put a little separate table at the other side of the room for Grandpa. So they ate here and Grandpa ate by himself. That's what happened. So that went on for a little while. Well, Grandpa's son, the father of the family, came home one day from work. He went out to the backyard, and there were his kids. They were all out there fooling around and having a good time. But they were working on something. They were building something. So the father said to his children, what are you doing? What are you building? And they said, Dad, we're building a table for you. We're building a table for the day that you are asked to leave the family table and to sit by yourself at dinner. Now, he used that story to talk about the reverence that we need for people who are old. That's what he did. But for me tonight, it has a very different meaning. It strikes me. Something my mom told me time after time after time as I grew up as a kid in East Los Angeles. She said to me, Lloyd, what goes around comes around. Ever hear that? What goes around comes around. And it's true. How we live our life, how we grow old in our life, but ever before that, just the quality of our life comes around. So what we have tonight is Christ our King. And I don't know if many of you saw that film, The Cristeros, Father Pro, Michael Pro. He was a young man who served in Mexico during the time of the revolution, and it was a horrendous time for the church, and there was all kinds of domination and inability for people to serve. And he finally was caught, and they brought him, the president of Mexico brought him before a firing squad, and they brought the press, because if he could get Padre Pro to deny Jesus, it would be a great feather in his cap. But if he didn't deny Christ, his death would serve as a great warning for all the Catholics of Mexico. And so there was the press, and there was Father Pro, and there was the firing squad. And I never forgot that one clip in that film. Do you deny Christ as Savior? And he looked into the firing squad of people who he knew would take his life. And he shouted, Viva! Viva Cristo Rey! And they shot him. But the surprising thing is that message went out like a flame all through Mexico. And it became actually a force against this great struggle. Viva Cristo Rey, our King. Viva Cristo Rey. Who is our King? Well, the gospel on this Sunday describes our King on a cross. There he is. That's our King. And it strikes me that the two great qualities that you and I might just frame and think about tonight for this week are the last two messages of Jesus Christ that it seems to me make us in a very real way see the integrity of his life. Christ was a man who always preached compassion. He preached compassion for the poor. He preached compassion for the prostitute. He preached compassion for the leper. He stood against all of those people who said, you people are unclean. He said, no one is unclean in the kingdom of God. So he preached compassion, but he lived it. On the cross, his first words after his crucifixion were, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So that's the first frame, that this King was a man who not only preached compassion and forgiveness, but lived it. And even at the darkest, most difficult moment of his life, he was willing to forgive the people who were about to kill him. Viva Cristo Rey. So I'm riding yesterday morning along Ocean Avenue before 5 o'clock. And I'm slowed down because people are telling me about all these new restaurants along ocean. All you young folks know all about them, but I don't. I'm just picking them up as I'm moving along. And I'm seeing this new restaurant, and I'm looking at this thing. So I'm slowed down a little bit. So probably this guy's probably in the church tonight, but here it goes. He was driving a convertible, young guy, driving a convertible, and a young friend next to him. So they're going along ocean. He looks at me. He says, "Oh, man, pedal, pedal, pedal." Well, let me tell you, my first words were not, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I had another word for him. You know the word, but I won't repeat it. Actually, it was two words, and you won't repeat it. That's what happened. So it's not inside me. It's not inside me. To really live that kind of life of compassion, it's a radical, radical grace, I think. I think it's one of the most radical graces. To be able to live that and to respond to that with our hearts. What goes around comes around, my brothers and sisters. If we lack compassion, we will die in that. Trust me. And our Lord, a man of integrity, lived that. And the second and his last word was this. We call him the good thief. The thief said to him, "Lord," called him Jesus, actually. "Jesus, remember me," he says, "when you come into your kingdom." He had just said that he and the other guy was the sinner. So he claimed his sin. He then recognizes Jesus Christ as Lord. "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And what happens? Jesus immediately says to him, "You will be with me today in paradise." Wouldn't you love to hear that as your last words, Peggy?
Yes, I would.
Yes, you would. "Remember me. You will be with me in paradise." How about that? Our Lord came not only as a man of compassion and forgiveness, but he came as a man for other. He was always ready. Even on the cross, he was ready for anyone who recognized him as Lord and Savior and claimed their sinfulness, knew their emptiness. And immediately he fills that life, our lives, with his grace. "You will be with me today in paradise." So my sisters and my brothers, tonight, it strikes me that as we share this wonderful night together of Christ our King, and we remember this is the end, this is the last week of our church year. We remember the year, we remember the grace, and remember the blessing. Where was our struggle? Well, I gotta tell you, mine is in that compassionate care for everyone. I'm looking at this man, our new Pope, and he is extraordinary. Everything, every thought is about those who have less. That's not how I wake up in the morning. So it's a teaching. That's at the core. It's a radical compassion and care. And that's what he preaches from his cross as King. And then that great gift of for the other. You as husband and wife, you must be for each other. I as your pastor, I must be for you. Otherwise, I'm counterfeit. I'm no value. If my life and my hope and my joy isn't for you, for your care. And so I would hope that on this last day, as we head towards this great week of Thanksgiving, we give thanks once again to the living God for the gift and the grace and the blessing of our lives. We're grateful for the small things that happen in our lives, and we're grateful for the big things that happen in our lives. And you and I, tonight, on this great feast, claim again, Viva Cristo.